Hi, this is PJ in the Lucy Coleman studio. It's the 16th of November, 2015, Los Angeles, California, United States of America, God's good, great planet Earth. Prophecy fulfilled.
Wow.
What can I really talk about? You know what? I was thinking about the Paris bombings is what brings this on. You know, we can't get away from it. We are living in apocalyptic times. We're living in times when those old stories that they told back in Sunday school days about the New World Order is coming firmly into play. I mean, if you can't see it developing, you're blind. I see so many things changing in my country. Some of the changes are good, and some of the changes are horrible. I believe that we live in a police state country. I don't believe that a free America exists anymore. Prophecy fulfilled. Everything that I taught in church behind the pulpit years ago, when I was a young man in my late 30s and 40s and 50s, coming into my 60s, has all come to pass. And you know what's real, real strange about this thing? If you study the world leaders in this situation, especially the one that we have in this country, I think we have a strong military. I commend France for what they did. Anybody attack their capital city, it is time to go and smash those people. I think that that's what you have to do. When you live in a civilized, if you can call this stuff civilized, I heard of an article by Glenn Beck about a citizen in New Mexico. Oh, God help us. I don't even want to change subjects, but we are experiencing some real strange moves in this country taking place, going on in the world. I literally sat down yesterday and watched the news. I watch Ben Carson make just a fool of himself trying to answer a question. What would you do if somebody, if you were the president and someone shot down one of our jets? I couldn't believe what Ben Carson said, nor could my grandson, who's 13 years old. He just looked at me and I said, that's what we have running to lead this country? You know, you can become so politically correct that you are out of your mind. Out of your mind. Huh. But it's interesting to see these things take place in my world, in my environment, and to see how people respond. Much sympathy to the grievous people that are suffering the loss of their loved ones and their friends. Just think of everyone connected to everyone that died. Even the gal here from Southern California, the college student. Everyone connected, everyone that knew her. Life is changed because of this act. This is a horrendous act, and it should be. I commend the French for retaliating so quick. You notice they didn't go to the UN to try to, no, flip the UN. But I don't think that any retaliation is going to do any good. I think that I have to say it. Prophecy is fulfilled. When you turn your back on God, Europe, God will turn his back on you. You know, Europe was a place where so-called those beautiful monuments, those great museums, those churches, you know, where they were giving homage and praise to the one God. That's gone in Europe. It's gone. And what we have left is what we have left. We have a population, we have a citizenry, and maybe that's part of the problem. A lot of people think, well, if you, they would say, when you do away with God, well, then you take away all of the problems, right? Not necessarily. I wouldn't necessarily say that. I don't think that erasing God is the way you erase all the problems amongst men. I think that, and I'm not going to get into the treaties again, but, you know, where there is a genuine lack of love, where there is no transparent operation between human beings to understand the other person at all. You know, it's like the Russian jetliner going down, 224 people on it. They discovered a bomb was on it. Okay? And whoever took, hey, come on, man. People can do that now. They can put a bomb on anything. It's terrible. We're living in those times. If I don't know whether I should, do I have anything on this website on the end times? I'm sure I do. And I'm sure that I've given lectures on eschatology and apocalyptic stuff like that. But what they witnessed in Paris is what the Bible says is going to happen all throughout the world. And this is just the beginning of birth pains, I believe. I believe that we're looking at the beginnings of them, just the beginnings. And all of the prophecies talking about how wicked and how bad things are going to get, I think it's going to get worse. For those of us that believe that there is a God that hears us and attends to our prayers, and I don't mean the kind of prayers that you, oh my God, I was talking about prayer yesterday with someone. I couldn't believe what some people, oh my God. What are you teaching your children out there? What are you teaching your children? Oh my gosh. Did you know that most of the time it's the parents that destroy the children? The parents destroy the children. And the parents basically destroy the children by giving them false messages, false fear tactics. I mean, it's a thing that grown people do to younger people. Horrible things that they tell them. Let me just give you this. All right, because see, this has to do with masturbation. And all boys and practically all girls, and every people do that. The species does that. It is a natural thing. It is a natural occurrence in every race, every culture, every religion, everyone. Now, there has been a taboo put on it. If you're still telling your child, and your child is a young teenager, that if he touches himself, he's going to go crazy or he's going to go to hell because he does that, what in the Hades is your problem? This is 2015. And people are still teaching their children that? Oh, I just can't believe some of these things that's coming out of people that call themselves Christians. I can't. And I wish someone would come up to me and say, well, do you believe that a young boy should masturbate? I said, he's going to do what he's going to do if he does it. And if you're a parent, you can see the evident token signs of it if you just open up your eyes. But why are you surprised? He's growing into maturity. He's becoming a regular human being. And he is going to, one of these days, break out and have sexual relations with somebody or with nobody, or with himself. What's the problem? Why are you telling the person that they're not, that they're supposed to beware of that? Beware of what? I never could follow that teaching. And then, you know, when I taught kids in Sunday school, and I taught the teenage boys class, and I told them, hey, those things happen. Some people would tell you that there's a grave sin behind it. They'll go to the sin of Onan spilling his seed in the fire. You know, that Old Testament. Come on. This is 2015. But I am convinced that it is the parent, in most cases, that make these children crazy. Someone else was telling me, John, have you ever heard of the only black killers that I've seen with a gun that I remember are those two guys that were in the trunk of a car shooting people on the East Coast, you know, taking pot shots. But psycho black men killing children and babies? I doubt it. Not from our community. Not unless they're really a psycho. Somebody gave them some real bad drugs and they went nuts. And I'm going to tell you this. If you got children on these strange drugs, taking these drugs, and you think that behavior is crazy, you're going to see crazier behavior than that. I'm telling you. Oh, my goodness. Just disastrous. We are living in horrible times, people. Horrible times. And it just takes a little sense. I was explaining to my grandson yesterday. I said, you have to understand, your Lolo has been telling, and my daughter had to shake her head up and down. I said, I've been telling people this for years, that it's coming to this. It's coming to this. We don't live in a safe place. We don't live in it. And I think that the frustration is growing everywhere. Well, listen, I have to get ready to go to work, and I can't stay here talking all day, 12 minutes and 15 seconds. Hey, I'm telling you guys to be careful out there. If you're out there in the public square, you're at these malls, you're walking around, and you're keeping the economy going, you're shopping, you're going into, man, have coffee at home, all right? I'm drinking a nice cup of coffee right now. Made a cup of coffee at home. Stand away from Starbucks. I'll bring some stuff with me. I don't have to. Wait a minute, let me do this. I don't have to get out there and make myself, you know, visible. Out where people gather. I'm gonna stray away from that a little bit. Just stay around the house and dig in the flower beds and plant some new plants and fight the rodents, because I'm having a rodent infection thing, man. They're trying to come in, you know. Here in Southern California, there's a drought, and I think one of the guys that came by and says that they're fruit rats that's coming on the property from all around the neighborhood, and everybody's trying to fight them. So I'm doing that too, doing the best I can. But, you know, it's that time. And it's that time when you look at things happening. Prophecy is being fulfilled all around us. Let me give it to you in the clear and plain. The Bible teaches, and the Bible is America's religious book, though I don't think America has really tapped in on Christianity. Some of us have really tapped into it correctly. I remember when the commentator Glenn Beck first started giving his commentary against what was happening. He was very Christian and very religious, and he's kind of toned that down because he sees that fanaticism reigns supreme in Christianity. But if you just take basic Christianity with this fundamental aspects of how things are run, it's a great faith. I'm going to teach world religions today, so I know what I'm talking about. It is a great faith to enhance. But at the same time, if you don't properly define Christianity, all right, within its proper context, you're going to have some tremendous difficulties. And that's what's happening these days. That's what's happening. And don't pay me any attention. I'm just trying to take care of a little business here as I wake up in the morning and come in this office and attempt to make some copies of important documents, and so that I can see how many students I have and teach this class in an appropriate manner. You know, all of that. But like I was saying, for those of you that know your Bible, okay? For those of you that know your Bible, read the Bible, see what's happening. Don't think it's strange. I'll tell you the way that Jesus put it. This is the way he put it. He said, "Think it not strange that these fiery trials are coming upon you, or some strange thing is happening to you, but to glorify God on the behalf of all suffering." And I will tell you, like many people in various faiths will not tell you, that if you're a Christian, you are not exempt from difficult times. We are not exempt from being blown up. We are not exempt from being emasculated. We are not exempt. The only freedom that I believe that a person has is a freedom to run. And if I were you, I would, if I wanted to preserve my heritage, I would get into the habit of running. I mean, that may sound a little funny to you. Here's I staple formats and things together. That may sound a little weird to you, but I'm telling you the truth. Get into the habit of running. And I say that because that's the only recourse that I see possible that we could fall into. It's to run. To go to a place of safety. To protect yourself. You know, it is because, and do this, because we in America, we do not have, especially living in the large inner cities, we do not have a way of escape. We don't know how to do that. We don't know how to depend upon, you know, I really love some of these, what do you call them? Institutions where these people are planting their own food and learning how to survive out in the wilderness, teaching their families how to shoot guns and things like that. You may think that's a little extreme, but I'm going to tell you something. That is a wise thing to do. It is a very wise thing to do, because we're living in what the Bible calls perilous times. I don't know whether you ever read this before. Let me share it with you before I go off, because some of you may be driving this morning, and I just want to reiterate to you what a perilous situation looks like, because I believe that one of the writers of the Bible wrote about this. Let me see whether I could find that, because I used to have here it is right here. It's found in the book of 1 Timothy in the New Testament Bible. Listen to what it says. You find this interesting. "But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith." In other words, it's going to get so difficult that some people that say that they believe in God and really want to believe in God, they're going to no longer believe in God. That's what that means by falling away from the faith. In other words, there's coming a time when people will not be faithful to the things of God. And then it says that they will pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, this has taken place in the past 40 years in the church. That's why the church believes anything, and at the same time believes nothing. And listen to this, verse 2. "By means of hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron. In other words, this is a deep imprint. It's like a tattoo on the brain that rejects God and laughs and scoffs at God at the same time. I can never do that. I love people that a lot of people think are totally unlovable. And I've learned how to do that. And I thank God for that. But look at this next verse, verse 3. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. But I'm going to move on down. Look at verse 6. And pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Now look what he says, but have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. See, I don't listen to stuff like that. Young man was telling me about his visions and dreams, and I said, when you X God out of your life, you're going to be having a whole bunch of visions and dreams that is in particularly adversarial to the Christian faith. But have nothing to do with it. On the other hand, the book says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. But he says, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promises for the present life and also for the life to come. And I believe that most people in America have forgotten about the life to come. Someone was asking me, will they see their loved ones again? And I said, I doubt it. I said, I doubt if I'll see my mother again, because if she saw me after I saw her, she would only recognize me at 12 years old, because that's when she last laid eyes on me. Listen to this, because in the Christian teaching, we're going around telling everybody that we're going to see our loved ones again. No, you're not. The Bible doesn't teach that anywhere. Now, it teaches about Abraham and, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and the child died. All right. And David was saying in his bemoaning the fact that is the child that was brought to life through an adulterous relationship died. That David said, I know that I will see the child again. Now, that's hopeful anticipation, but that is not teaching that you're going to see your loved one again. See, you can't do that. It was just recorded. That was stated. I don't read my Bible like I'm reading a funny book. There's certain things that are so broad and so fantastic, and it takes a divine deity, God, so to say, to put his imprint on that. I believe what the word of God says, but I don't believe what men say. I don't think I will see my mother again. She would not recognize me if she saw me at 71. She really wouldn't. I would just look like, because she died when she was 33. You get my drift? Because that's the only memory bank that she has left of who I am. And we have to become more practical in our Christian faith than insane. That's why when people ask Christians questions, they can't come forth with any legitimate answer because they haven't thought it through. And so when you read about the end times, read it with the intent. You know, I just thought about something. I was reading 1 Timothy, and I just glanced at 1 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 13, it says, until I come, give attention to public reading of the scriptures. In other words, here's a command in the Bible to read the Bible, to exhortation and teaching. In other words, exhorting them to live right and to teach the right thing. And then it says, but do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. In other words, you have the ability to connect to spiritual things. Even during difficult times, even during times of anti-persuasion against God, you can connect to spiritual things. I find it extraordinary that we can connect with other people. And you know what? It doesn't always have to be a religious connotation. The thing that makes you connect to other people is love. It's love. I love to meet more people like myself. They need more people like me. Quiet is kept. Because I know that people like myself are just drenched in sin. See what I mean? I know my kind. As a matter of fact, I know your kind too. Drenched in sin. And until we admit this to God, see what I mean? That's why difficult times are going to come. Now, I hope that our government and everybody can keep us safe and all that kind of stuff, because we don't want to think about kids going somewhere to a lollipop party and all of a sudden, you know, firecracker goes off and everybody laying there with their head busted open. That is not a pretty scene. And I think that it's abhorrent for someone in this country to even think on that level. But it's happening around the world. What happened in Paris? And I'm telling you, man, Paris hasn't seen bloodshed like that since World War II. And so we're living in perilous times, people. You need to know that. You need to take some kind of overt caution in your lives. I would suggest that you follow the leading of God here in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says, and I think that this is an admonishing thing right here. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity." See, that's what I think our president has. He's a timid guy. He's soft when it comes to making statements like have to be made. God hasn't given us a feminized spirit. And I'm not talking about gay world. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the spirit of femininity. Man cannot have that. When times are difficult, you see what the French did. The French said, "No, we're not going to the UN, nothing." Okay, we know who did this. Let's go get them. Well, we're going to have to fly over the airspace. Let's go get them. We have anti-missile planes. They shoot a missile at us. We got an anti-missile to shoot at them. We know where the anti-missiles are. Let's go get them. When it happens here in America, it'll probably be the same thing. Let's go get them. And that will be the ushering in of what I believe really is World War III. Because when you get them all involved in that, then when it gets real bad in America, boom, martial law kicks in. Then we're going to have a problem because, see, we're going to have to learn how to survive this. And I'm going to tell you, if you are trying to survive this without God, without some kind of true indication, some kind of signification of some kind of spiritual insight, you're going to find yourself wanting tremendously. And that is where the problem comes in. Because we have not connected appropriately the way we should. Well, I think I've spoken enough on that, and I don't think that I need to say anything else, because you know what we're confronted with. Okay, I'm just checking the headlines here before I go away, and I see people are doing what they usually do. They're playing their games. They're putting their churches up on the internet, and they're you know, playing their little spirituality, but they are not getting serious about what is coming upon us because of what we have invited. See, it's how can I end this up? Let me say this. Be safe out there, okay? Be safe. I'm going to run off this stuff and do what I have to do. And you be safe out there. As a matter of fact, I think I'm going to end this up by just end it up. Hey, God bless. I'll talk to you soon. Back to work.